Dear congregation, October 31st, 1517. Martin Luther nailed the well-known 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. What a special moment. An important step, and a major step and milestone towards what we nowadays call the Reformation or the Protestant Reformation. That Reformation was extraordinary. It really was. The church these days was darkened. Life was darkened. And in these dark days, the bright light of God's word broke through again. And not because of any human effort. It broke through again because God broke through. And the whole effort of the Reformation was to bring the church again in line with God's word. Tonight we hope to listen to the five solas, well known, I suppose. After all, what the Reformation discovered by opening the word is summed up in these five solas. They are a kind of summary of God's word in just five words, actually 11 words. By the way, these five terms or words, the five solas, they were not systematically articulated until the last century. So that took a while. But they sum up the teachings of the Reformation. And I think when we listen carefully to them tonight again, and we take away the dust off of them, and we weigh them again, that the conclusion will be unmistakable. They are also relevant in our time, and we need them again and again and again. They are important words to listen to. For us in the 21st century, again, we must be freed from ties that constrain the word of God, that limit the power of the word of God. There are again constraints around the word of God. And therefore, it's like the Holy Spirit, it is limited in his power. He needs to be freed. We need to get rid of the constraints and the limits on the word of God, so that God may receive all the glory again here in the 21st century. Well, the proclamation tonight is easy to follow. I'll start with a little bit of the background of the five solas. And then we listen to these five solas. Sola gratia, solus Christus, sola fidei, sola scriptura, Soli Deo Gloria, the five solas. So let's start with a little bit of background. The first question, most of you will know it, but maybe not all, is what these terms mean. Well, as probably all of you know, these five terms, they are Latin. It are Latin words. And therefore, in our ears, they sound a little bit strange, Latin terms. And you heard five times sola. Well, sola, especially for the young people here, For the children, sola is the Latin word for alone. In other words, you heard five times, alone, 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 and again, alone, and another time, alone. Five times. And then came other words. I'll repeat them. Sola, gratia, grace alone. Alone, grace. The second one was solos Christus, Christ alone. The third one was sola fide, faith alone. The fourth one was sola scriptura, scripture alone, the Bible alone, God's word alone. And the fifth one was soli Deo Gloria, only God, all glory, soli alone, Deo God, Gloria, glory, God, glory only to God. Well, this was indeed the message of the Reformation, and it is the message of all times and all places. It was the message before Reformation, during the Reformation, but it's still today the same message. They are still so relevant. But why five times these words alone? Why alone? Well, this alone is not restrictive. That's not how it's meant to be, this five time alone. It is not a kind of freedom denying alone. No. Actually, it's the opposite. It is a liberating and a joyful alone. It is not at all limiting, restrictive. No, it's joyful and liberating. It is actually not all of this. It is alone this. Not all these things. No, only this. And in that our salvation is found. Only in this. And indeed, therefore, it was a liberating sola. Actually, the question answered by these five solas is, how are we to be saved? That's the question answered. And that's an important question. How are we to be saved? And these five solas, they give an answer to that question. How are we to be saved? Well, not by doing this. By going to him, her. No, by listening to this book and that doctrine and that doctrine. And by knowing this and that and that and that. By feeling. By only five solas. How are we saved? And then these five solas followed. It is the summary of indeed a liberating gospel. The answer of much turmoil in the world, in the church, and in the heart of the reformers and many more people in these times. What a struggle it was for the reformers to go back and to find these simple answers. How to get saved? Such an important question, and they wrestled with themselves, with the church, with the doctrines of the church, with many learned people. They wrestled in the end with God, and they came up with these five solas. That's how to get saved. What is that all that? Well, let's go again shortly over these five solas. Sola gratia, it is only grace. Through grace, we get saved. It is not grace plus cooperation from our side. It is pure grace and not helping grace. No, it is grace alone. How a cooperation isn't needed at all. We don't have to add something with grace, to walk alongside with grace. No, grace alone. solus Christus. It is Christ alone. You don't need another mediator, by example, the priest in the church, because you need to go to the sacraments. No, it is not the mediator Christ plus the mediator priest. And there were more mediators in these days. Not only the priests were mediators, because they administered the sacraments, and the sacraments were necessary to receive grace. No, there were also the mediators of the saints, with their excess of good works. There was the mediator of Mary. Well, you don't need any other mediator, only Christ. It was a liberating gospel. The third one is faith alone. Sola fide. It is not faith plus my good works. Oh, indeed, it all started with faith in that Roman Catholic Church, but these good works, they were necessary. No. Indeed, good works are from a certain perspective necessary, but as fruits, thankful, in thankfulness, in that attitude of gratefulness, but not to add to faith. It is faith alone. Then there is the fourth one, sola scriptura. It is only scripture. How important the confessions are. We get saved through scripture and not by the confessions. We don't need all the traditions in the church. How important traditions are. But we don't need them to get saved. We don't need all these other doctrines. Scripture alone. That's what we need. Another church with all their doctrines and reasoning and they were at the same level as Scripture. No. Scripture above all. Scripture alone. And then the last one. How do we get saved? By giving glory to God. Not giving glory to the saints or to Mary or whoever. Giving glory to God alone. How powerful was the light of the Reformation, which really broke through in the darkness. Everything was clouded in the church. You needed to attend the sacraments, not one. You needed to attend at least four sacraments in order to receive grace. Your good works were necessary next to faith. The whole church was necessary. The priests, the saints, Mary, whosoever. It was all clouded and darkened. No. Solus Christus. Sola gratia. Sola fide. Sola scriptura. Soli Deo gloria. The question, how we become saved is an important question, isn't it? I really hope that all of us wrestle with that question. How do we get saved? And even if you know the answer because, you know, God opened your eyes, still it is an important question to wrestle with and to consider how we become saved. Why is it so important? Because God is our creator. And the question is so important because there is no possibility, no possibility whatsoever to get saved by any effort or any attempt from our side. Indeed, last Sunday night, we listened to Ephesians 2. We are dead in sin and trespasses. We are. That's the reality of our life. How can a dead corpse come alive? Well, it is possible. But the liberating gospel is that it is not by law, It is not by any effort or attempt from our side. The Reformation made that clear distinction between law and gospel because these two were mixed in the time of the Reformation and the time before. Gospel and law were mixed. They were mingled together. A little bit gospel, a little bit law, but law is a dead end. It exposes us as sinners. It humbles us. It brings us indeed to repentance, but that's it. We need gospel. We need that grace to come to the true evangelical repentance. That's the gospel. And there is a clear distinction between them, and we never should mix them in our life. Oh, it's so dangerous. Whatever the law is you bring in, maybe the law of your knowledge, or the law of your feeling, of the law, the doctrines, whatever. No good works, whatsoever the law is. You only get saved by gospel, these five solas. Well, let's go shortly over them. The first one, sola gratia. This one really opens as a door the way to salvation. No, you don't have to take that ladder and to put it against the wall and to try to climb that ladder to reach heaven. You don't have to do that. No, it is grace alone. The only method of salvation, the only way to get saved is sola gratia, grace. It is a free gift from God's side. Man cannot ascend to God. Any attempt is futile. Let alone that man can raise himself to life. How can a dead corpse raise himself to life? Impossible. How can we live holy before him? Impossible. But the miracle and the wonder is that God is gracious to dead sinners. Salvation comes from God's electing love. From time's eternity, he elected people no better than other people. One-sided. In times of eternity, there was that decision in the Council of Peace that Jesus Christ, the second person in the Godhead, the Son of God, would come down to earth to save sinners, that he would pay their debt. In time's eternity, the Holy Spirit agreed that he would be poured out and live in the hearts of dead sinners to revive them. It all is God's work, grace alone. How liberating this is. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes for this liberating gospel. It is grace, congregation. It is nothing from me or for you. It is grace alone. And don't make the mistake to think, well, you know, maybe I have to do this small thing. I have, you know, to pray and to attend church. Oh, yes, you need. But not to receive salvation, not to get saved. No. It is 100% God's word. It is not 99.99999%. And maybe, you know, 0.0001% my work. No. It is 100% God's work. He graciously forgives your sins. Isn't that amazing? He graciously makes you alive. It's all his work. What a privilege it is to be set apart from the dark world around us. Isn't it terrible to see these skeletons and these coffins and the people of the world making joy and pleasure there? So miserable. Here we are, so privileged, set apart by God. By the way, to be a light in the world, that also they will come here under the word and find Christ, that liberation. The real joy is in Christ. It is grace. Salvation is, by the way, God's work completely. It is completely God's work. Not only the justification, right? Sola gratia. It is not only the justification to be declared righteous. Oh, that's grace alone. But it is also your regeneration. He makes alive. You don't have to make yourself alive by whatever effort or attempt. He makes dead people alive. And also your sanctification is found in him. Sanctification. Although, I know, we are fully engaged in that. I know. Fully. Therefore, it is a command. Sanctify yourself and mortify your sins. But it is grounded on God's grace alone. Sanctification is also found in grace alone. As far as justification, right? Being delivered from your guilt, freed from God's wrath upon your guilt. Just listen to Romans 3. Sola gratia, with regard to justification. Romans 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. No effort and no attempt from our side. Being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, solus Christus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, sola fide, in his blood. It is God who reconciles through Christ alone. It is grace alone. It is also grace alone for the regeneration. Right? Regeneration is that we become alive, spiritually alive for God, because we are all spiritually dead. Like the corpses you see outside in the world now. Indeed, they are a picture of who we are, dead for God. Spiritually dead. How remarkable it is that on Reformation Day we see all these skeletons outside. They are a clear sign put there by God. This is how you are spiritually, world. They don't understand it, but they put on their own sign that they are spiritually dead. They are, like we all are. But that regeneration is a gift of God. It is grace alone. Ephesians 2. We have read it yesterday. But God, Ephesians 2, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, all these skeleton and corpses, has quickened us, made us alive with Christ, solus Christus. By grace, sola gratia, ye are saved. Oh, you see it beautifully portrayed in the raising of Lazarus. That single word of power, that's God's grace. Lazarus, come forth! Come out! And at the very same moment, he was quickened, made alive. That's God's grace. And that was only a portrayal of what happens in Christ. He was the first fruit in his resurrection. And in him, there is the assurance of a rich harvest, because his word of resurrection is so powerful. But thirdly, sola gratia, right? It is sola gratia in justification. It is sola gratia in regeneration. It is also sola gratia in sanctification. Living in daily repentance, doing good works, showing God's image, it is all grace alone. 100%. That is so liberating. Sanctification starts in and with Christ. It is grace. And it continues out of grace. It is all grace, sanctification. God bestows sanctification upon us. It is He who makes us fruitful. I'll know. It takes place in us. He enables our full human being. That's right. And therefore the command. Command, sanctify yourself. Be holy. Man is engaged in sanctification. But God's grace is foundational to it. And it's decisive in it. Just one text to prove it. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He labored, right? But because of God's grace. Yeah. Did the reformers discover this secret, sola gratia? No, they rediscovered it. The Bible is full of it. But as I told you before, in the Roman Catholic Church in these days, grace was helping grace. They learned, they taught, that man had a free will. And that in addition to grace, they admitted it. It all starts with grace. Oh, really? They admitted that. But grace is also helping, and we need to cooperate with God's grace because man has a free will. A man is a sinner, so that's why we need to attend the sacraments, because when we attend the sacraments, grace is literally poured out into us. This was the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. How poor it is. You heard in these days, God will not withhold His grace from those who do what they can. Isn't that terrible? I read it again. God will not withhold His grace from those who do what they can. By the way, isn't this what you hear in the world around us? I listened to, what was it, a couple of days ago, to a sermon of Pastor Osteen, Joel Osteen, and of his wife. They literally said this. God will not withhold His grace for those who do what they can. How terrible. The sin from the Roman Catholic Church. It is back in again in America. How necessary it is that in every age, we need to rediscover the truth that it is grace alone. It is not helping grace. It is not our cooperation. It is grace alone. Oh, still you heard people say, I heard it many times back in the Netherlands, I'm doing my best anyway. God will surely help me. I attend the church. I did everything from my side. And God is love and He's good. I'm trying my best anyway. But this is exactly where the problem is. Being saved is grace. This is so liberating. You don't even have to do your best because it is grace. Grace alone. Well, the next one. Solus Christus. Christ alone, solus Christus. Grace alone, grace is, we could say, the method of salvation. The method of salvation, it is grace. Christ is the way of the door to salvation. Christ alone, solus Christus. He is the way to salvation, the door to salvation. It is his blood that cleanses from all sins. It is him who delivers us from God's wrath. It is him, he alone, who brings us alive when we are in him and with him. How glorious we hear this in Romans 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Christ alone. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, you see, we should have mixed them up. Or what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because we are corrupt, depraved. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in our likeness, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Christ alone, solus Christus. For those who are one with Christ, just consider this. When you are one with Christ, when you are by faith engrafted in him, your conscience is free. No more guilt. No more God's wrath, no more condemnations, and you are sure in his mighty hands. He is the great liberator, not you, he is. Whoever in faith is one in him and with him may live with his free conscience. There is no need for fear. There is no more fear. When you are really in Christ, when the Lord opens your eyes, there's no more fear. After all, he is our righteousness. He is it. He is our righteousness. Christ said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way, he's the life, he's righteousness, he is. All in him is the miracle of regeneration. In him is the miracle of justification. In him is the miracle of sanctification. In him is all we need. Solus Christus. What was the problem back in those days, the days of the Reformation? As I told you already before, Christ was not the only mediator. Oh, they acknowledged. Christ is the great mediator, but they added other mediators. And also the other mediators, they were necessary to get saved. By example, there was the mediator of the priest. I just told you that. You needed the priest because he needed to administer the sacraments. And you needed the sacraments as a minister. You needed the sacraments because grace was poured out in attending these sacraments. So there was another mediator, the priest. And there were the mediators of the saints because they had an excess of good works. So they could help you with their good works if there is a shortage of good works in your life. And there was, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she could help you. So there were all kinds of mediators. Even the angels were mediators. And then the reformer said, no, there's just one mediator between us and God. And he is a complete mediator and he is a full mediator. Everything you need is in him. You don't need anyone else. You don't need your pastor. You don't need your whoever it is. You just need Christ. Christ alone. How important is that we rediscover this in our time? Our time is a time of relativism. Truth is found everywhere. Truth is found everywhere, right? We find the truth in nature. We find at least a little bit of truth in the other religions. Surely, if people will live well, you know, even whatever they do, if they live well, God will accept them. But if this is true, that would mean that there is a way to God outside of Christ, and there isn't. There is one way to Christ. He says in John 14, I am the way. It is Christ alone, and that message we need to hear, and the world around us need to hear that message. Christ alone. Solus Christus, what a liberating message it is. We don't need other mediators. Christ alone is sufficient. The third one, sola fide. Sola fide. Again, the method of salvation is grace. The way or the door to salvation is Christ. But the means of salvation is fide, sola fide. It is faith alone. And well, because here's a danger, when we say sola fide, we could think that's really a big danger, that it is my faith. And still that faith is work from your side. It is an attempt from your side. It isn't. It is, in the end, not so much about faith. Faith is only that empty hand and an instrument, but it's all about the object of faith. It is about Jesus Christ and his work. Faith focuses on him. Faith is the empty hand reaching out to Christ. Faith is that channel to which grace reaches you. But it is all about the object of faith, Christ and his work. I'm very much afraid that even in our time in the Reformed circles, we make that mistake. And we think that faith is, you know, an effort from our side, an attempt from our side. It isn't. Faith is that instrument to which you can reach Christ, or better, so which Christ can reach you, so which he can pour out all these heavenly blessings in your life. It is just as a beggar coming for him. That's faith. It is seeing Christ. That's it. Faith is seeing Christ alone. Seeing his beauty, his love, his glory, his strength and power, his eternity. He is all we need. And that eye of faith sees him and finds everything in him. That's faith. Again, it's not an effort or an attempt or work from your side. It's all about that object of faith. Oh, and then you will see that he paid for you completely. Because when you see him, you see that cross. He paid for you in full. In your place, he hung at Calvary's cross. He paid for all your sins. And he rose for you. So in him, united with him through faith, when you see him in faith, you know, I am alive because he is alive. And when you see him sitting in God's right hand in heaven. He's the mighty king, and you know, I'm safe in life, whatever happens. He helps me in the afflictions. He is the one who reigns. Faith, again, it is, you could say it like this, it is resting on God, on Christ. That's it. Resting on Christ and his work. Luther discovered this glorious liberating news in Romans 3 verse 28, by example. The text there reads, a man is justified by faith. Well, in his translation, he added alone. He added that little word. It isn't there in Greek, but he's so right. Because that word is all over in the Bible. A man is justified by faith, and he added, alone, because he understood the liberating gospel. It is faith alone, because it is Christ alone. Luther understood clearly this as the biblical message. It is not my work, he understood. It's not my repentance. It's not me humbling me. It is not my confession. It is not me receiving bread and wine. It is faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone. Ephesians 2, again. It's an important scripture, Ephesians 2, the first 10 verses. It's worthwhile, you know, to learn it by heart. It's such an important portion of scripture, Ephesians 2, the first 10 verses. By grace are ye saved. How? Through faith. Seeing him, your hand reaching out to him, receiving what he willingly wants to give you. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Even that faith is God's gift, right? It's grace alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But the good works will follow. We considered it yesterday night. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God's work is clear. Getting saved is through faith alone. And it's not a work. Not a work. You know, and we need to rediscover this in our time. In some circles, especially some Reformed circles, it's with pain in my heart I say it, but I see it happening. That faith is, you know, and salvation is built in and woven into a dogmatic system surrounded by conditions. First this, and then that, and then that. It's not like that. There's no condition. No. It is grace alone. It is Christ alone. It is faith alone. But in other circles, there's the opposite. And faith is a kind of degenerated into a fake sense of joy and a feeling of happiness, and that's faith. And both are wrong, of course. Faith is seeing Christ in his glory and beauty and his love and beauty. How special it will be to see him in eternity without end. To find all our joy in him. He is so sweet. He is so sweet. Well, the fourth one, sola scriptura. Sola scriptura. The method of salvation is grace, right? The way or the door to salvation is Christ. The means of salvation is faith. How do you learn this all? Through your confessions? Oh, they are important. Through books, Puritan books maybe? They are important. Read them often, please. But it's all about this. It's all about this word, sola scriptura. This word is enough. This is enough for salvation. Sola scriptura. Oh, how obscured the scripture was in the times of the Reformation. Because besides the Bible, there were the doctrines of the church and there were the traditions of the church. So there were many books besides the Bible, many glasses to read the Bible. No, sola scriptura. This was the great rediscovery of the Reformation. It is Scripture alone. And indeed, all the other books and the confessions, they are very helpful. Oh, we need them, definitely. But salvation is by Scripture alone. They had so many writings that the Roman Catholic Church that had the same authority as the Word of God. But you know what was so unfortunately, these statements, they were often co-based on great philosophers like Aristotle or Plato, these kind of philosophers. And their doctrines were co-based on their work, so not only on scripture, but they found also wisdom elsewhere, and they co-founded their doctrines also on their doctrines. So the gospel was kind of eclipsed, darkened, because scripture was, it was things added to scripture. And then God intervened mightily. Just consider what he did back in these days. You know, he came with his word again. How did he do that? Under his providence, the art of printing, book printing, was developed at that time of the Reformation. Erasmus came out with the first printed New Testament in Greek. What a great gift. In 1516 it was. Then Luther came with a Bible in German shortly after. And today we have the Bible in thousands of languages. Sola Scriptura. And how sad that in our day scripture again has been darkened. There are the spectacles of our thought system. Our thoughts dominate often over the Word of God. You find it all over in the church. Many things are changing nowadays. Women can be office bearers, and I don't have to mention all these things. We come with our thought system and we dominate over God's Word. There are the glasses of science. A creation in 6 days? That's impossible. So in these days, even in the church, they wear the glasses of science. And through these glasses of science, we read scripture. No, it's sola scriptura. We wear the glasses of our feelings. We live in an age and a culture of feeling. And our feelings are going to dominate over the scripture. You know, and what the worst thing is? That in our days, God's word needs to be made acceptable to our current culture and value system. That's what's happening. The God's word is subjected to the culture around us and our thinking and science and our feeling. What a terrible and tragic mistake it is. Sola Scriptura. Hear Paul's warning, Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Here's warning. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into his grace of Christ and to another gospel. There is no other gospel. Or listen to the words of Psalm 119. Open thou mine eyes that I may see and behold wondrous things about thy law, about thy word. Or just consider 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. Sola Scriptura. Well, the last one. Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria. In Scripture, we find the path of salvation. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. But when Christ, grace, and faith are entering your life is going to be changed. You are going to be transformed. And from that moment on, you are going to bring God all glory. Soli Deo Gloria. And that's the goal of our life. Bring glory to God. Beautiful, right? The Westminster Confession, the Westminster Catechism. 1648, that first question, I think you all know that question. What is the chief end of man? And that answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That he raised up a dead corpse like me. That through Christ he forgave all my sins. That I'm no longer under condemnation, but I'm declared just, righteous. Oh, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, through Scripture alone, and therefore soli Deo gloria. Oh, you read this all over in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10. Whether therefore you eat or drink, just remember that when you eat and drink, whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. When you enjoy that cup of coffee, do it to the glory of God. Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Revelations 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure we are created. Oh, may we all bring God our glory. May we glorify him and magnify him, make him great in all we do in our life. And this surely will happen after you came to understand that there is a big distinction, right? A great distinction between law and gospel. And that there is that liberation gospel, that it is grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, what I learned in Scripture alone, and therefore soli Deo gloria. Let that define our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for the great gift of the reformers. How they rediscovered the biblical truth. That clear distinction between law and gospel. How they came to see these five solas. What a liberating gospel this is. Oh Lord, thou knowest how we need that reformation again, personally, as a congregation, as local church, as a worldwide church. Lord, thou art still the same God. Thou will be the same God, also tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. Oh, therefore, Lord, we ask thee, pour out thy Spirit among us. And them, Lord, who are still bound in the shackles of death, them who are still wrestling with our sins. Lord, there where thy word didn't reach their hearts, oh Lord, set them free. That they may see Jesus Christ and his beauty and his strength. Lord, forgive our sins. Bless thy word. Go with us when we go from here. We can again enter this world. And we hope to take up our task again. Lord, strengthen us in our work, whatever that work is. Strengthen us in our circumstances. Comfort us in our afflictions. But above all, O Lord, give us thy Spirit. That we may find our joy. Whatever circumstances we are in or we live in, that we may find our joy in Jesus Christ as a foretaste for eternity. Lord, make us so hungry and thirsty after him. Lord, hear our prayer and receive our thanks. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things and we praise thee. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 83. That's Psalm 32. Such a beautiful psalm about sin and forgiveness, about grace alone. Of course, faith alone, in Christ alone. We all hear this with New Testamentic ears. Psalter 83, we'll sing two stanzas, 1 and 3. Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.